Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
As we approach fall, so we approach the season for transplanting. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, it's transplanting 101. We're talking shrubs and trees, not like huge trees, obviously, but reasonably.
Unless you got a tree spade parked in the garage on the compound, you know, some families have those.
Well, we had a tree spade on the compound.
You're Kennedy, after all.
Absolutely. Yeah. So transplanting, this is what we want to be getting ready for.
It is a great time to start making plans. As many of the things we do in the garden, the plan is the really important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a plan would include what you're going to move. So are you moving some herbaceous perennials? Are you moving some shrubs? Are you moving some trees? Because if you are, there's a time for those to be moved. Most of what we have in our garden in the Midwest, we can move it in the fall.
Uh-huh.
But there are some things that are just best to do in the spring. And a lot of those things are from the flowering shrubs and trees that we see in the spring. So if you want to move a rhododendron in your yard, or an azalea, or a magnolia, all of which are those early spring winters that just really make spring feel welcome,
uh-huh.
You don't want to wait till the spring on those. But
Do we wait till they're done blooming to do that?
Absolutely, Laura.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that point up. That's right. Let them have the energy of producing a flower and a seed.
And then when they're exhausted and go, oh, I can't do any more, please transplant me. That's when we do it.
You could do it before that.
Oh, okay.
You could also do it before that.
All righty.
So, but for everything else, there's a scenario and a story for everything. And
uh-huh.
I see many of us gardeners gazing upon our yard day after day. You mow and you see the same stuff. And you sometimes play this little game in your mind where you think, geez, you know, if this plant was 2 feet over, I could make a turnaround right here as I'm taking care of my turf.
Yeah.
Or these little dwarf rhododendrons that I bought at a Shopko retail yard outside of town, they look great for 2 years, but man, I've been fighting with them, and I could get rid of them and put them in another spot in my yard and replace them with some stuff that's crowded that's
mm-hmm.
also in my yard.
Okay.
So for the herbaceous perennials, like you got some hostas that you need to either divide or to move because they're too crowded. One thing I'd like you to consider doing is putting a little stake or a ribbon or something so you can keep track of which one you're going to work on.
Right.
Because you're going to do this after the leaves are down and the perennial has declined for the season, right? And that's when the leaves are laying on the ground. So now your tell is gone. So if you have a stake there, or better yet, if you have a picture
mm-hmm.
or some kind of gardening journal, really, really proactive gardeners have gardening journals.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, the lowdown on transplanting trees and shrubs. And, you know, once I was trying to transplant a small shrub, and I got that thing, I got it all dug up, and then I went, oops, and I realized I didn't have the hole ready for where I was going to be putting it. So do we start with digging the hole that we're going to be putting the plant in? Is that step one?
That is a good practice, but there's one thing that we can do before that. So let's talk about, we do have some plants in our, we have some woody plants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got an arborvita that we need to move. So I'm going to go out now, and I'm going to lance the ground in the area or in the perimeter where my root ball will be. I'm going to cut the roots now.
All right.
But I'm going to leave this arborvita in the ground. And I'm going to leave it there until, again, later this fall when all the perennials have declined and their leaves are laying on the ground. And we've been watching football and chasing leaves. So that's when I'm going to move it out of this hole, which I've already lanced the roots.
Right.
And then it's important to have the new hole prepared.
Yes.
That's right. That is a huge thing. And preparing the hole for our herbaceous perennials, shrubs, and trees, we know to help establish new root growth that the size and the shape of the hole is important.
Oh.
So we want this big vase-shaped hole,
mm-hmm.
not a bucket-shaped hole, but something that's wider at the top and maybe a little narrower at the bottom.
Sort of V-ish?
Yes. V okay. with a flat bottom.
Yeah, I remember being at the cancer center with you. We were planting some trees last fall, and that was a great lesson.
That was a great exercise because we planted a whole bunch of 12-gallon potted trees.
Mm-hmm.
So the top of the pot was about 2 feet across. But when we finished carving our hole out, the hole was almost 4 feet wide at its widest point at the top. Also, that soil at the top of the edges of the hole is the good soil. So
right.
you can actually make the hole wider after you've set the root ball down in it and break away that edges of that soil to make the hole wider
mm-hmm.
and let that same soil fall into the bottom of the planting hole. Another great practice is to fill that hole up with water and let it completely absorb before you complete backfilling. So what you're doing there is you're charging all those pores with water. That way, when you do your ongoing watering, the dry pores outside your new planting site aren't just wicking the moisture away from the roots before they have a chance to take it up. This is a great practice. Watering is the key on new plantings, and it certainly is critical in transplanting. We also can help those roots develop by covering the soil at the surface with mulch to help regulate the temperature and also to maintain a consistency of moisture. So the mulch will kind of hold in moisture that's there and actually help create a little bit of moisture on a hot, sunny day because it's insulating that ground. You can sometimes get a little bit of condensation below your mulch
because
mulch is breaking down over soil that's sometimes a little cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of a cyclical event there. One thing you want to be real conservative on when you transplant is pruning.
Mm-hmm.
So more important when it comes to shrubs and woody shrubs and trees, pruning should be limited to branches that were damaged right before or during the transplanting. You want to have as much leaf surface as you can conducting photosynthesis and growing to help those new roots get going.
Right.
And that has changed in my lifetime. I can remember when I got started in this field, there was a common practice of pruning away some of the lower branches on newly planted trees.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't think of a worse thing to do now, knowing what we do know. When it comes to transplanting trees, we oftentimes have to use some kind of staking. Two or three stakes is typically best. And you definitely want one stake holding the tree so that it can stand against the prevailing winds, which are north by northwest.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yes, it is. And the stakes are not going to help keep the tree straight. You want it straight when you plant it.
Okay.
The stakes are going to maintain straightness, and there doesn't need to be a bunch of tension on there. We just need something to help the top part of the tree, the above ground parts,
mm-hmm.
holding still, so that we don't disturb those young fibrous roots that are going to get started during the cooler soil temperatures. And that's why fall is a great time for transplanting. So the same reason our grass grows a lot more in the fall and our yards look fantastic in the fall, because the weeds are going away and the growing temperatures for the grass are great because of cool soil temperatures. That's also going to be the thing that gives us the touchdown, go birds, for our transplanting operation.
Okay, great advice, Murph. And now we've got time to make a plan. Make a plan before you do any transplanting. Now, coming up next week on GLT's Grow, we've got a question from Peter in Lexington about planting windscreen trees. Do you have a question or a problem you'd like Murph to take on? Go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, and you'll send that along to us, and it's possible that Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Send a photo as well. We'd love to see your problem. Submit at wglt.org/grow. Grow.